a week ago that had a Asian title lead. Oh, American really? Produced film.
What was his name?
It was called Advantageous. It was a sci-fi film. But then even in that, the lead, Cinderella. She ends up...
Why does it have a sign? Cinderella.
There you go.
Lead.
Yeah, that's true.
He was the prince. Yeah, that was literally the only thing I could think of.
Do really? I love you because you're wonderful?
He was a hot Asian.
Or are you wonderful? Right? Yes. Because I love you. Are you the sweet invention of a mother sheep? Or are you really as wonderful as you see?
Awkward podcast on the internet. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, aka The Gamer. Joining me, we have Huey, aka The Boxer. Say what's up.
Hey, what's up?
We got Michelle, aka The Sister.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, hey.
And we got Mallory, aka The Educator.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I thought you would say.
Yeah.
That's good.
How are you guys today?
Good.
Well, yeah.
Blessed and highly favored.
All right, then.
All right. If you're new to the podcast, you might notice that we have a couple more people than we usually do. Usually, we have just me and Huey, right? Me and the friend Huey, who most of you guys don't pay attention to because you're spending most of your time
listening to me. I pay attention to you,
me.
Huey. I do.
Sometimes. I just like to be very honest.
But today, we have two of our biggest supporters.
We have our listeners in our room right now.
We have both our listeners in the room right now.
Both.
Both of them.
Probably true.
Yeah. All we're missing is Patrice at this point, really.
She's going to be super jealous.
Oh, dude. She's probably going to... I'm going to get a text after this and be like, why didn't you have me in the podcast? It'll be whatever. It's all right, though.
After this, does she, like, stalk you when you record the podcast?
That's a good point. We were recording this podcast, like, a week before it goes
up.
And so, oh, I gotta upload last week's podcast as soon as this one gets done.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be fun, so I have a lot of editing to do. But, yeah, this is a special episode. One reason why this is a special episode is because it's our last episode.
Aww, that's so sad.
Yeah, and so...
It's not my last episode. I'm starting one with Stevie.
No, you're not.
I won't listen.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
That's going to last 2 weeks.
Start one with yourself, by yourself. I would listen.
I'm throwing around different podcast ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so one of my podcast ideas, which I'm going to let out because... If you steal it, you steal it. Whatever.
Okay.
It's the working name for it is Tindercast.
Yes, that's right. We talked about.
Yeah,
this.
We did talk about this.
What is it about?
Where when I go to Seattle, right?
Okay. Oh
I'm
no.
gonna use Tinder and all my Tinder matches, right? I am or for the ones that are accepting. It's either gonna be a surprise date or something. Like I'm basically gonna take them out, right? On a date, but the date's gonna be a podcast, and each episode's gonna be me with a different girl.
But we talked about you telling them before.
Yeah, which would probably be but I feel like a podcast would be a fun date though.
No. All right, Mallory.
Okay.
If you're going on a date with a dude you met online, and like
it's already feeling sketch,
right?
Yeah.
And like online dating, I did it for a week, and so there's some texting that happens, and so she might have her like hopes up. And then all of a sudden, she, like, goes into a room, and it's you in a microphone, and a stranger. That's weird.
That's weird. Okay, maybe I'll let them know beforehand.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think...
You're creepy.
But it'll be, like, it'll be a monthly podcast, though. It wouldn't be weekly, because that'd be difficult to find a girl every week.
Bro, boost up your confidence.
But, like...
I feel so. Like this. If you don't put too much effort into, like, the pregame of it all... And you just kind of go in, you make the match, you say, hey, let's meet up. And it's like right then and there, you don't have a whole lot of like texting back and forth and mm-hmm. building up like this anticipation. Uh-huh. And it's just right then and there. It's like, hey, actually, I have a podcast. You want to do it? And then if she's down for it, then you already know.
Well, if she says no,
then you don't
go to the next one.
The first thing she's going
to
ask.
That's your month's podcast.
But he's got a whole month to find a girl.
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing with like, if I let them know beforehand, if it's not like a surprise thing.
What
then
if
I can just go
like,
through all my matches. Because hey, Seattle's like a lot more people.
And I feel like people in Seattle might be a little more chill about it. So mm-hmm. what if you're like, hey, would you be interested? Not maybe doing the back and forth, but mm-hmm. like the first text would be like, hey, want to do a date? And also, would you mind if that date is a podcast?
The first thing that she's going to ask is, hey, what's a podcast?
Oh, I mean, it's in Seattle, because we were more techie in Seattle. I feel like they'll probably know in Seattle. Here, maybe, probably, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah. But that's one of my ideas, and you know, I have other ideas for like video game podcasts and stuff that I listen to. And so, I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they'll be so good that you'll want to listen to them for video game. Video,
I would not get any reference. So me and video game. So my roommate has a PlayStation 4. The fact that I know is a 4 because I think I saw before she purchased it online. And this is me when she plays. There's some zombie game. I don't even remember the name. And she's playing. Yes, that's it.
It's an amazing game.
It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, basically.
And so this is literally me, her playing. I go, so what's happening now? Oh, why is he going over there? And what's he going to do next? Oh, wait, you're playing the girl now. So what's she doing? So what's going to happen?
Well,
how do you defeat that person? So when you throw that thing, what happens? And I think it's probably annoying to her.
It's kind of a spoiler that you play as a girl. It plays the girl, but the game's been out since 2013.
I was like, you
so
know so much about the timeline of the... Okay, continue.
It's really... It's like a soap opera. So I literally... I'm like trying to read a book. And then I find my eyes just going back up to the TV and just watching the video game as if this is real television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really interesting. But that's literally the extent. Prior to that, Duck Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
That's fine, though. I like seeing when people who are not too familiar with video games, like, see a video game from today, and, like, their last, like, interaction with the video game was, like, in the 90s or something like that, because then it's, like, video games today have, like, evolved so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I was playing a game with Michelle, actually, which was going to be one of my topics, but I guess we can just talk about it now.
Yeah, because I was actually going to bring that up.
Yeah, because the game is called Emily is Away, and it's basically a game where...
Michelle's not agreeing with that title.
Oh, are you thinking of a different game?
I don't even know what the title is.
Oh, wow.
Was that the title?
Is it the one where we're aim messaging the girl?
Oh, I was thinking about something else. Let's talk about that. Yeah. That was interesting.
Now, that was interesting. Now, it's not even that much of like a like modern game from a technological standpoint, but games are really diverse now. That the game we played is a game where you aim message basically a girl from your high school. That you may or may not like, that you probably like.
But it's deep. But, you know what I gained from that game?
That love is useless.
No! That people, whoever is the creator of that game, I think has a very interesting and probably negative opinion of women.
Ooh.
I don't think that's it.
I think that's it.
I think that the creator of that game has sort of like... I feel like the events of that game, that happened in that game, are events that happen in real life all the time.
So can like, you give so, us like some examples?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just do our storyline, the one that we did.
Okay, well, I'm gonna spoil the game so nobody listening.
For the five people listening,
yeah, nobody listening to this podcast is probably going to play Emily's Away, judging by the people listening to this podcast. Because I would barely play a game like that. But this is basically the game, right? You start off your first year, or your senior year in high school, right? And you're chatting with this girl, and be like, oh, dude, school's about to end, and like it's a back and forth thing of like you have three responses, you choose a response. And then she responds based on the response that you give, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a back and forth you have between you and this, like, this girl who's, like, basically the game, right? And it's all aim messaging. It's stylized like Windows XP, and it's made to look like an old-school, like, aim message kind of thing, right? And so, like, the first year, you're like, oh, yeah, it's, like, going to college is going to be awesome. You can go into different colleges and stuff, and it's just, like, a regular conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of college are you going to, blah, blah, blah. Then it fast-forwards to your first year of college, right? And then one of you guys says like what's up on AIM or whatever, and you have like another conversation, right? Basically over time, like over your 4 years of college, it evolves to this thing of like, hey, why didn't you kiss me when we were out when we were hanging out this one time? And it turns to thing of like, well, I was going out with this guy, but it went horribly. We argued all the time.
Essentially, this girl was in a possibly abusive relationship.
Yeah.
She breaks up with her boyfriend. The other guy stays, so me and Bless are playing the guy, right? And the computer is the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we are concerned and good friends. And, like, as probably 19-year-old nice men probably would do, hopefully, you know, like, encouraging. And the girl is kind of horrible. Like, she's really whiny. And she goes back to the guy who was horrible to her and kind of treats her friend kind of like crap. And at the end, there's like no resolution.
Yeah, and what I even learned is that any way you end that game, there's no resolution. So there are different things that can happen throughout the game, right? You can invite the girl over, right? And based on what you say, like hey, she's gonna be like, hey, do you want to hang out or whatever? And you can be like, oh yeah, let's hang out on campus. Don't bring any alcohol and stuff. And then like after that, like the next year, she like messages back like, hey, so why didn't anything happen when I came over, right? Or mm-hmm. or you can say, oh hey, we'll hang out at my dorm, right? Oh, and bring like, and she'll be like, oh, should I bring my alcohol? And you can be like, yeah. And then what ends up happening is like
very
what ends up yeah. happening what is attempted rape. Like,
no. Potentially, but what ends up happening is you guys hooked up. Then she messages you the next year and is like, "Hey, so were you like I've been thinking, were you trying to hook up with me? Like, was this like, did you just invite me over just for the
this is very interesting.
It's but every time
because and, oh yeah, everything you're saying, it leads me to believe
yes!
what Michelle is saying. This is, I mean, to portray a woman this way suggests a couple things. Either this is his very specific experience, and mm-hmm. he's trying to find some sort of resolution through this video game,
yeah.
and there is none, because the reality is that, unless we're just getting deep for 2 seconds, right? An abusive relationship is what it is, and unfortunately, people who find themselves in abusive relationships, we will easily turn back to it again and again and again, and will easily eschew the positive, you know, interactions but that are present in their lives.
I highly doubt the creator that's of that game had that deep.
I think so, but that's the thing about a lot of games is that like the writing aspect of games nowadays is really like people are putting in a lot of thought into these things.
I did wonder if like English majors get jobs at
they're called
really
yeah they're called because I was looking for sound for Blessed and movies. oh my gosh, something designer. Like
really? Story designer or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, they like hire like copywriters essentially to help design the storyline of the game.
Yeah.
But it sounds like this dude was messed over in the past and he is living it out in this video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether he thought about it that deeply or not, these are his experiences.
But the thing about that video game specifically, right, is that like no matter what route you go through the video game always ends in like you having to say goodbye. Like it turns into a thing of like it's just awkward between you guys now, and like you try to talk to her, but like, or you're trying to like you try to spill your heart to her, but every outcome is just like, well, I'm gonna erase what I said, and I'm gonna say, hey, how's class, or hey, how's this, and you can't really say what you really want, what, like really feel like saying, and so at the end you're just like, bye.
Welcome to his greatest regret. Seriously,
like it's a deep thing, but I think it's also something like nearly everybody goes through.
And mind you, my perspective from Bless's perspective is totally different. I'm 27 and Bless is 21. And so for me, I'm just getting irritated because I'm like, just say what you mean. Like, don't be dumb about it.
And you're also a girl and I'm also a guy too, which that's I think also affects how you true. View this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was telling you about a different game called Gone Home, which is a game which also spoilers for Gone Home if you care. Which, no way, there are people out there who really do care, but the people listening to this podcast, I assume, don't care about Gone Home. Gone Home is a game where basically like you go in, it looks kind of like a first-person shooter game, but you're not given any guns or anything. You enter this house, this empty house, which is apparently your house. You're coming home for basically break. And you're exploring this house, right? And you think it's like a horror game based on, like, this house is empty, kind of, like, weird, kind of, like, you know, it's different. There's something about this house that's, like, off.
Yeah.
And, like, through the course of this game, you're, like, picking up, like, either like notes from your family, or you're looking at clues throughout the house. And towards the end of the game, you figure out that your sister is gay.
And
that's the game. And that's the whole game. Is like the whole game is like basically your sister is coming out, and it's like this really heartfelt thing of like what your sister went through when her parents found out this whole thing, and it's like
man. I want to know. Video games have really changed.
Yeah,
exactly.
That is not.
So what do you have to do in that game? You just walk around.
You walk around, pick stuff up, try to figure out like where you're supposed to go.
Do you think people, not you, because I think you have a different perspective, like people who are playing that game, that when they realize what the game is actually about, they get upset because they're like, man, I thought I was going to, like, shoot some things.
I think I think some people do, and I think some people will appreciate it more. Because, a podcast I listen to, right, the dude was talking about the game. He just talks about how, like, it's one of his favorite games he's ever played. But then there's also other people online being like, this isn't a real game. Like, I didn't get to, like, shoot stuff. You know, I think there's both sides to it. People who appreciate that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then people who are like, I don't want this. Like, even the game that Kirsten's playing, which is Last of Us, right? Which is a game where you shoot a buttload of zombies and you kill a buttload of people, right? But there's also a very strong story aspect to it of like this man and this girl who are like on a journey together.
Oh, you saw me playing that.
Yeah.
That was pretty deep. I like the intro part.
But even some people are like, dude, this is like the greatest game ever created.
Yeah.
And the other people are like, well, I mean, it's all it is just story. Like, I want more game.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always going to be people on both sides.
It's not probably not the time for this podcast, so you probably have to do another podcast. But I'll be very interested in hearing your perspective on, like, women in gaming. Because, like,
we can spend some time on that.
So, like, but I don't know enough, but I'd be very interested. Because I hear a lot about, like, just threats and...
I'm not going to get into it too much because it's a deep thing. But there's, like, a whole thing with gamers. And, like, it's a very divisive thing. Like, there's a thing called Gamergate, hashtag Gamergate, which is, like, a thing of, like gamers being like, hey, we don't want corruption in our game journalism. Which, first of all, who cares about games journalism? But whatever. And then, because there's a whole story about it that I'm not going to go into.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's, like, one extreme of it is, like, the Gamergate people being like, blah, blah, blah. And kind of hating on women sometimes.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side of it of, like, there's a certain feminist named Anita Sarkeesian who's always her thing is, like, talking about the
Did
diversity.
Did she create a game or something? I feel like I know that name.
I know that name,
I know that name, too.
Anita Sarkeesian, she's the founder of Feminist Frequency, which is basically, like a feminist organization, I guess you can call it, to, like, sort of like expose video games for being like sexist
and she's
like
never
that.
Created one.
She doesn't even play video games that much, which is the thing that bothers many people, is because she's always calling out video games and stuff, but she doesn't really play video games. So that's like another like extreme side of it. She's going in, like she's trying to knock dudes out.
Huey, do you play video games?
No.
Do you find them at all interesting?
I don't know. I think it was like because. When I was young, I was, like, conditioned to think that I shouldn't be playing video games. You know, I have, like, parents, and then, like, they will say, hey, you're, like, wasting your time and blah. So they're constantly, so I have this, like, stigma towards video games, you know?
Yeah, same here. We didn't have it in the house. My cousin, if my sister ever babysat my cousin, he'd bring it around. That's how I knew what Duck Hunt was. Because that was the last time he even let us touch his Nintendo 64. Does that sound like a right one?
No. No, what? Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, the point 64. Is, we never played. And he would then hog it. So we'd watch him play. And I'm like, well, this is boring. So literally, it hasn't been until this, like, The Last of Us that I'm like, this is, like, very interesting. I don't want to play it. I just want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I actually enjoy watching it more than, like, playing.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But... I didn't see that.
Mm. Yeah. So that's not our first topic. I guess now that's our first topic.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot more to say about stuff, but I'm not going to because that's just me. But our actual first topic is going to be education. And so this is...
Yeah, we're going to just dive in.
Yeah, we're just going to dive in. So Mallory and Michelle, you guys do different things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, Mallory, what's your position? Like, what do you do for a living?
Oh, should I tell the internet? And be associated with this? No. So I'm an assistant principal at an elementary school.
All right.
Woo!
And Michelle, what do you do? Or what are you studying or whatever?
Big things.
Not big things.
Studying big things.
I'm in grad school... studying international education.
She's working on her doctorate, okay? Clarify it.
In international education.
International education.
Technically, international and multicultural education with a concentration in human rights education.
There you go.
Yes!
And so, what I want this topic to specifically be about is, what do people not know about education that they should know about education? And I purposely made this kind of broad, so you guys can, like, spill out your guts on whatever you feel like you're passionate about.
Yeah.
I've got an opening one because I just saw, maybe you posted this picture, but it's something that I've told my students many times in the past, is that education is not a privilege, it is your right. In the United States. And I get that that's not true across the world, but the reality is that this is where we are right now. And unfortunately, I think too many of our families walk around and don't realize that education is a right that they get by law.
Absolutely.
By law, their children are required to be educated by the people that are in positions to provide the education. But so many people are scared of the system and scared of their own experiences and carry that sort of baggage with them that when things get tough or when there's pushback or when things are difficult or when things don't seem to go an easy way, they think, oh, well, then I'm not supposed to have it, or it's just, this is just the way that it is. And unfortunately, that's not okay. if people understood that their education was a right and not a privilege, I think more people would fight mm-hmm. and advocate for their kids and get that that's okay. Yeah. It's not wrong to push back at the system. It's not wrong to walk up to your principal and say, I need to talk to you about the quality of my child's classroom. Mm-hmm. It is not wrong to shop around schools and say, I would like to sit in classes before I sign my kid up for school.
Yep.
I keep telling you, like, when people come to Champaign, they're like, well, what's a good school to send my kid to? I'm like, visit. Go. Sit in classes. Talk mm-hmm. to people. Your education is a right. It's not a privilege. It's not something that's just for the elite or the people who have money. It's for everyone. If we started acting like that, we'd have a much better system mm-hmm. because we have a much better checks and balance. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? There'd be much more pushback. You know, you think about, like, the democratic process and the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have people in power who make decisions, but then you have the body of people who then get to vote them in and out of office and say, with their voting power, I don't like what you say and I don't yeah. like what you do, so I'm pulling you out and I'm putting somebody else in, right?
Yeah.
There's that seeming, that there's that semblance of a checks and balance, and we're lacking that in yeah. education. There's not enough pushback. There's not enough people stepping up and saying, hey, these are my kids.
Yeah.
This is my community. Mm-hmm. This is what I believe is right, and I'm going to work for it, and I'm going to demand that we get what we are guaranteed.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at, so I look at different countries, particularly in Africa, but if you look at a lot of the European countries where education is such a value for them, like, I'm going to say unlike the U.S., but it's different.
Yeah.
The educators are the highest paid. It's the most competitive job to get. And it's because the value of education is so huge. And they know the power of it. They know the power of increased knowledge. They know how it affects society. And those same countries are also the same. Like, they're more equal. They take care of each other better. They have more social services. And it's all because they value a person. They value human life. And they value the person's, like, sense of self. And education is part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like we don't like appreciate like or respect teachers enough in our society.
I'm gonna go ahead and say, can I get an amen? Yeah, like...
Can I say, props to Mal? So Mal taught 7th grade for 7 years,
eight years. Sorry, I just want to interject. 7th grade is the worst grade.
Yeah.
And for you to teach 7th grade for that long.
8 years.
I loved
is
it.
Is messed up. We're
and you know, and the thing is, Johnson. I left when I was loving it. Man, I loved my last year there. And I was so
imagine.
Sad to go.
And I sat in on a few of Mal's classes. She, like, not even, like, saying this because she's my friend. I would say this if she wasn't my friend. But it's phenomenal. She's a phenomenal teacher. Like, hands down. The kids love her. But they also respect her. Like, she knows her stuff. And she truly knows her stuff. And she's smart. Like, Mallory is brilliant. Like, I'm getting my doctorate because I like a certain niche, like, whatever, and I like want to study it more. Not to say like I'm more brilliant than anything else, like, I don't know, I just like certain topics. But Mallory's brilliant, and she taught bad A 7th graders for 8 years.
I love my kids. That's real sweet. Thanks, Michelle. No, but as you're, so here's the thing. Look, so I feel fine being on both sides of the fence on that, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I feel fine saying that families and parents and community need to, like, rally and push back and demand advocacy and demand that the needs are met. But I equally say that teachers are put in such a precarious position where they are not, they are the first line of defense,
yeah.
right? So if a parent pushes back, the person who feels that the most is the teacher, because that's their point of communication.
Yeah.
That's their point of contact. But then also you have teachers, they feel pressure from people above them. So now that I'm in administration, it's probably one of the weirdest feelings for me, because I've always been a teammate, I've always been a collaborator, and to now be in this position where I am above people, and for people to be nervous about telling me things or coming to me about things, it really, like, psychs me out, because I keep thinking, but that's not who I am.
Yeah.
But they feel a pressure from me because I'm their evaluator. And so they think that literally whatever I say, they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like pressure from your families, and then you feel this pressure, whether it's imagined or real, from people above you,
yeah.
you're in this tight spot where as a professional, you go, okay, I know what I believe. I know what I've learned. I know what I've come here to do, but I feel pressure on all sides, and I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be authentically who I am as an educator in the face of all of this pressure around me, in the face of the fact that I don't get paid nearly enough for the amount of work that I do,
yeah.
in the face that I have new mandates and new expectations every single school year, and things that have to change, a curriculum that keeps shifting in the face of, you know, families that maybe don't communicate well, mm-hmm. or families who communicate too well, and they're in my classroom every day questioning everything that I do, right? And so you're in this little space where you're trying to live out the best version of who you are as an educator and do right by your students, and you've got all of those influences all around you. It is a hard place to be in, and I think it's one of the hardest jobs that people will ever do. Like, next to, like, being a mother.
Yeah, no, for real.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Being a teacher is tough stuff. You've got to be made of tough stuff to do
it. Yeah, because even, like, I worked in the same school that you assistant principal in, mm-hmm. right? And I worked in a kindergarten class. And even that by itself, I was like, yo, this is some intense stuff. Because you're in charge of, like, 20-something kids, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And if one of those kids, like, runs off when you're not looking, and, like, I don't know, hurts themselves, then, mm-hmm. that's on you. Yeah. I couldn't imagine, like having my eyes on 26 people at the same time or 23 people at the same time mm-hmm. being, like, I have to watch all these people, make sure none of them are, like, hurting themselves or each other. Also make sure that since they're in kindergarten, they know how to count from 1 to 100 and know their ABCs and figure out how to read and all this stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And, like, taking care of all these things at the same time, meanwhile, also treating each student like an individual and caring to, like, their individual needs, like, mm-hmm. that's something that takes some work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And the best teacher, yeah. I mean, and there are so many phenomenal, I mean, I've worked with so many phenomenal teachers, and when you see it done right, it's like, it looks effortless. Mm-hmm. To watch a master teacher do that, it looks like there's nothing, it requires mm-hmm. nothing of them. But when you know that person, you know how much time and energy and effort that they spend. Hours after school, hours on weekends, their entire summers, the amount of self, like, motivated professional development. I worked with teachers when I was at Jefferson who I loved our science department at Jefferson. They, because they were not just science teachers, but they were scientists. They were people who were passionate about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they would go to the, like, Great Barrier Reef in Australia. We had a teacher who did, like, a summer internship mm-hmm. and was in the, like, studying coral. Like, that was what he did, you know? Mm-hmm. We had one person who was out, like, with the Coast Guard out to sea for, like, 2 months for, like, study. You know what I mean? And so you're like, they take it so yeah. seriously. And people don't even know how much yeah. time and effort and energy goes into doing that work. When you think, like, well, my teacher just does this, and they just get their summers off, and they get all these breaks. Like, mm-hmm. you don't understand. People break their backs doing this mm-hmm. work.
And on top of that, all the regulation from policy, I don't know, man. Yeah. That's the part that gets me, like, yeah. I give mad props to teachers because not only do you have to deal with, like, 20-something kids, but just on a curriculum level, mm-hmm. it is dictated. And not just dictated by the principal or the assistant principal. It's dictated by the state. It's dictated by the federal government. It's dictated by NGOs. It's dictated by think tanks. Like, it is a system, people. Mm-hmm. You know? So it is hard. And so, like, at the very, not the bottom level, but then you have teachers. Then on top of each level, there's more and more people making the decisions. And they're the ones that have to execute it.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy? And, like, they're like, okay, all right, let's do this.
Yep.
Let's just do this. Yeah,
I agree with you because both my parents are teachers and they, like, I have, like, huge respect for teachers. And then it's like, they go through a lot. Like, there's mm-hmm. so much preparation and so much. The hardest thing is how to deal with each kid. Like he said, like, each individual, like, how to talk to them and then how to, like, is like, the, like, get along with them is, like, the most, like, how can I. Like, my mom always said, you have to help them learn, and you have to let them have fun, too, especially mm-hmm. teaching elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, because when they don't learn, because I work in the children's ministry, when they don't want to learn, that's, like, the most frustrating mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. she has to always come up with ways to make it fun, too.
Yeah.
And get the knowledge in, so.
So that brings me to, so you asked, like, what are some things that people don't, what was the question?
Things that people don't know that education. You think they should know.
So here's the thing, piggybacking off of Huey, play is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Play is absolutely 100% important. And I get that seems like an oxymoron when you're talking about education, but kids still have to be kids. And I get that is very unique to an American way of living, and it's very unique to a 20th, 21st century way of living, right? Because childhood didn't always mean play. Childhood meant work. Childhood actually didn't exist
yeah.
before, yeah. right?
Childhood is a fairly new concept.
It is a fairly new concept. But for the world we live in now, for the type of society that we have created, play is important. Our kids have got to be able to explore and be able to exercise their imagination and be able to learn how to just interact with people and build their social selves. Because if all we do is drill, the skills and the knowledge, we are completely dismissing a whole aspect of their humanity that needs to be developed. They have to learn how to interact with people. Yeah. The number of kids that I have to deal with as far as like discipline because they don't know how to interact with other people because they want something so they hit somebody. You know, because they've never had to play out what it looks like to resolve a conflict. They've never had to play out what it looks like to figure out a problem between with another person. And so our kids have to learn how to play. And it is our responsibility to make sure that we incorporate that. And so you think about like, and so what that even means is that at home, we could let kids just kind of run around and do their own thing, and that's fine. But they also need kind of structured play, if that makes any sort of sense, where parents intentionally consider, okay, like, I'm going to play these games with my kid. And in this playing game, I'm going to be able to model for them what it looks like to be, to like, to lose. I love the fact, so Carrie Wells, my best, one of my best friends, I love watching her play with her son, Ethan, because she'll play a game and she will play it just fine. And she will win a good chunk of the time. And then she, and he will pout and she'll go, you say, good job, mom. You say, good job, mom. Give me a high five or shake my hand or something like that, right? Because he's got to learn that you won't win at everything, right? You got to learn that everything's not going to go your way. And it's because they do that sort of things that I know that when he starts school, he's going to be just fine interacting with other kids and be able to like navigate those things. But that comes through play. Is he going to learn that if they just sat and just read like a book or she made him write something down about it? To some degree, maybe he could pick it up that way, but the experiential knowledge that you get from interacting with other people, like, that's something that you can't necessarily get out of a book. Play is so important. It's bigger than just, oh, the kids are just running around doing what they want to do. No, you learn.
You can't underestimate human interaction.
You can't.
I would say, not to say education is for, to get a job, because I don't believe that, but I will say, number one, issues that companies do have, because I work in higher ed. And I worked previously, I worked with engineers. And their number one problem was the fact that they didn't know how to interact with one another. Like, they didn't know how to, like, say hello or how to just have a normal conversation. And that was an issue. That meant they didn't know how to interact with their customers. They didn't know how to interact as a team. Nothing was being, you know, produced or progressed. My, I don't know, I won't get into it too much, but like, my research is about Nigerian education. And one of the biggest issues is the fact that it is, a lot of it is rote education. So you hear something, you just memorize it, and you, you know, write it out. But what's happening is all these companies in Nigeria are not hiring their students because they don't have the skills, the one-on-one skills, because that was not enforced or encouraged in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could probably speak to that, too. Yeah. And like, even like, because I went to school in Nigeria. And the school I went to was extremely, like, strict. You know, like everything is scheduled. You do this at this time. Better not disobey or else, like, you're going to get punished. Or, like punishments was, in Nigeria stuff, like, you're going to kneel down for, like, 30 minutes. Or, like, kneel down or, like, kneel down, close your eyes for 30 minutes. Kneel down, close your eyes, raise your hands for 30 minutes. Stuff like that. There was one, which you guys probably won't get that American, but there was one called Ride Okada. Which you had to like stay like in that position, like you're like lean down like this, like you're riding a motorcycle basically, and like and just stay like that.
Oh, my parents don't make me do that.
Oh, dude, and, like, and you know, and that was kind of like the culture, like like you do what you're supposed to do, like when you're told,
And that's hurting the society. Yeah. I mean, it really is, and so
And respect is like such a huge thing of like even if somebody was in like I was in middle school at the time, right? If somebody was in a higher grade than I am. I wouldn't call them, their name's Kevin, I wouldn't call them Kevin, right? Even though there's probably nobody in Nigeria named Kevin. Probably a few people. But, like, I'll call them Senior Kevin. I wouldn't call them just Kevin, because they're, like, they're a senior over me, right? They have that seniority, so I'd call them Senior Kevin. You know, or if somebody's an adult, I'd call them, actually, in that school, probably Mr. Oshis, or Mr. something, if it was
We're going to say adult. A teacher's name?
I did say his name. I thought specifically to one. I was like, what did I call him? Oh, yeah, Mr. Oche. No, but like, the culture is different there. And even to like, in terms of like the interaction thing, like I see that all the time in the school when I work there of of the importance of interaction. Because even the kid I worked with, one of the kids I worked with specifically had autism, right? It was really hard for me to interact with other people because he could really not really communicate that well, like mm-hmm. verbally, right? And so when it came to him being in the classroom with other students,
yeah,
it'd be very difficult, especially with him mixing in with other students, because them being kindergartners, they didn't really understand like the situation. Like they got it, but they didn't really like get it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, I think, I don't know if I said this on the podcast before, or if I said this to Huey, or I forget who I said this to, but like one or two things was going to happen in that situation. One, they're either going to like outcast him, or two, they're probably going to worship him, because that kid is a really skilled kid, because he can read better than the other kids, he can count better than the other kids. Like he's like way smarter than the other kids, but socially he was kind of, it was like what can you do, because he can't really communicate.
Yeah.
Didn't
you say they would have him read, like the kids in the classroom?
Yeah, the kids would like give him books and be like, hey, read this, you know, and whenever I saw the kids trying to interact with him, I would never stop it. At least immediately, I would never stop it, because I'm like, well, if he has to interact with kids somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and during recess and stuff, he would try to play tag with other kids, but he would end up hitting them and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, well, he has to find some way to interact with the other kids that's like, safe. I don't know. Yeah, that's safe, right? And so even when like things get weird between him and the other kids or like and stuff like that, I just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, unless I saw like some kind of danger, because, you know, interaction, I think, is important no matter who you are.
Absolutely.
And if you're not getting that kind of experience in your life, and you're not getting, at a young age, at least in that age, and you're not really getting it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't know. It causes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely does. Because even with me, I feel like I wish I got more of that when I was a kid. Like, I don't know if I didn't get that. I've known, maybe it was because I was the only boy and I was the youngest, but I've known I've been awkward since, like, probably second or third grade.
Oh, that's yeah. So cute.
Like I always knew I was awkward because I was like, because maybe it was because I never went to any of the other kids' birthday parties.
Why?
I don't know.
You didn't want to?
I don't know if I didn't want to or I just didn't expect to. Like, because like the kids would do things where they'd invite all the kids in the class to their birthdays.
Oh, you didn't get invited?
And no, I got invited.
Okay,
I just never
say,
went.
I was like, I'm gonna beat up some kids. I was like, let me know their names.
Like I got invited. I was just like, well, I'm not gonna go to this. Because I don't know why.
But,
I think it was just a thing that immediately came to my mind.
But that could be personality.
I guess
you're
so.
A very well-adjusted person, mm-hmm. as introverted as you are.
Yeah, but I don't think I was when I was in elementary school though. Like I think back to elementary school and I was like, wow, I really didn't really try to like make friends with people in elementary school. And I can't remember like the successful or the times I tried to. I don't know if I was ever really that successful. Which sounds like a really sad thing to say. Not to say I didn't have any friends, because I did have friends, but like not really from school. Like I had a few friends from my neighborhood, and I think I was friends with them because I played video games at their house.
Yeah,
which gave me
there
a
was a friend that like I did not like because he was a mean boy, and we would like forbid Blessing to like hang out with that person. He'd be like, I'm not gonna say the person's name, but he'd be like, can I go to so and so's house? I'm like, nope, you can't go to their house.
I'm still friends with him, which is funny. Oh, wow. Like I'm not friends with him, but like
you're cool. Facebook friends.
He messages me on the PlayStation sometimes.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not really doing the best now. As you can imagine, he does a lot of drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's why I said no.
He was a popular kid in school, though.
See, that doesn't matter, man.
No.
I was trying to, I had hung out with a high schooler today, and she was saying, and she actually... It's very wise, I think, for how young she is. And she was kind of, I was like, okay, like, you know, how's your friends? Like, any boys? She's like, I don't have time for that. And I was like, but
love
yes.
I love it. I
like,
love it.
And I was telling her, I was like, you know what? Like, I get it. Like, I get in the moment of time, it feels like it's everything. And it maybe might be, but trust me. Like, mm-hmm. it gets not only better, but freer. And you
yes.
really don't care.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish someone gave me that talk, because I just want to tell, like, any high school person who wants to be popular, wants
yeah.
to be cool, mm-hmm. I just want to tell them, like, the most important thing is, like, be yourself.
Yeah.
Like, just do what you want to do. Do what you like to do. Don't hide your, like, emotions or anything. And be friends with whoever that you want to be friends with. Don't just go hang out with the popular kids. Like, to be honest, like, being popular in high school, that's not going to matter.
Absolutely not.
Dude, it like, passes. One of the most popular people in my high school, like,
yep.
they're not doing that well.
Like, I remember this super popular kid.
Yeah.
in my school, he was pretty handsome. Like, he was really handsome. He got all the girls. He was super popular.
Yeah.
And then, like, he made fun of me, too. And so, the other day, I saw him. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying. I saw him at working at Meijer.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like, and then, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What matters is you find yourself. You find who you truly are.
That's right.
Yeah, popularity doesn't equate to, like, success.
Absolutely.
It fades. So, in the idea, I used to always talk to my students about reputation. And, like, who you are, like, you are in, this is your time to craft and to communicate to everyone around you, like, who you are and what you are about. And that doesn't just come through what you say, but it comes through how you act and who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And if you surround yourself with people who are about stuff that you're not actually about, mm-hmm. the problem is that what you're communicating to everyone around you is that that's who you are.
Yeah.
Mm. And so then that's a story, that's the narrative that follows you. And so then it doesn't even matter what you actually end up being about. The fact is that everybody thinks that you're about something mm-hmm. else, and perception is Trump's reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so so it's like cut the mess, like cut the like the pretense, cut the whole I just want people to like me.
Because
the problem is that they don't, and worse than the fact that they don't like you, they don't respect you because they realize that you're just a puppet.
Yeah.
You're just somebody who's pretending and trying to fit in, and nobody's buying into the act. And so you think that you're kind of like wearing this cloak, and you're kind of like slipping in, and you're kind of fitting in, and people think that she's cool like them. No, they. The thing is that people aren't idiots. And even those popular people who work so hard and they crave that popularity and they hone it as a crap, they see right through you. They know you're not really like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't really respect you because I see what you're trying to do here and it ain't okay. And so it's just like, let it go. Like, be yourself because the right people will come to you. And unfortunately for some people, it's hard to like stand by that because it takes time.
Yeah.
We had a great thing in prayer last night. Christy Northup, who's doing worship for the week of prayer, she talked about her husband and how he's been very ill for the last few years. And she was talking about, like, when you pray, like, God can do a miracle in the moment, but God also does miracles that take time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and she's like, we just prayed and I wanted to be open to all of the options of what God can do, right? And so that's the thing, right? For some people, it just comes naturally.
Yeah.
You make friends, you find your niche, you find your people, and you just coast for the rest of your life. But for some people, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And you got to be okay with sitting in who you are and crafting who you are and being comfortable and confident in who you are and working toward the things that you want to work toward, because you can waste so much time
and so much energy pursuing
things that aren't even your passions just because that's what everybody else is doing, and you have wasted time, and then you wake up one day like, what am I doing?
Yeah. My thing lately has been about energy. I don't know. Maybe it's because I live in California now. I don't know about energy.
Energy.
Yeah. But
it's because you live in California.
It's probably because I live in California. But you really do waste so much necessary energy on stupid stuff. Like, the energy that you waste on trying to become someone's friend that you shouldn't even be friends with. Because just, like, you probably don't even click with that person.
Mm-hmm.
They might not even be a nice person. And you're trying to do, there's just so much. And you could use that very amazing energy to something else. Just something that you love. And look how far you can go with that.
And guess what? If you're doing what you love, you're going to find people who also do what you love. And so they're going to be the people that you want to be around. People will come to you.
Yeah.
If you are authentic and you are sitting in your truth. Man, I sound like Oprah. If you are
in your truth.
You know, right? But for real, if you are genuine, people will come to you. People are drawn to that. Real people are drawn to that.
Yeah, real, I believe recognize that. Real. I think Jay-Z said that. So I don't know.
I can't even.
Last wrote that in my... What, my master's graduation card?
Did I? Real recognize real?
Yeah, real recognize real. That's hilarious.
Well, I feel yes.
That's true. I tried to be with the popular kids, and none of them I have in touch with.
Yep.
None of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, not each one. Like, we were friends. You know, we went to, like, games together. We hung out together.
Yep.
Nobody. Because that wasn't me. That was me putting on, like, a fake face.
Yeah.
Like, hey, oh, I like this. I like listening to this. I like listening to, like, whatever you guys. I like to do whatever you guys do. But I didn't, you know?
Yep.
Like, also, I want to acknowledge, like, the difficulty even doing that. Like, when you're in high school. Because I remember being in high school and being like, I got to figure out some way to like be like everybody else. Because like in high school I was like, dude, I'm a different person, right?
Yeah.
And like I don't mesh well with people that I'm in class with. We're like with like a lot of popular people, but I'm like, dude, I gotta figure something out. I thought there was something wrong with me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like I think towards like probably like junior or senior year of high school, I just had to like tell myself like, hey, I'm different and different is good.
Yeah.
Like, different is okay. Yep. Like I'm my own person because I knew somebody who who's basically like trying to be like somebody else or trying to be like everybody else, right? Yeah. And I realized how much that I didn't like that, right? Yeah. And how much I was like, well, if I can't be myself, then like, then who's gonna be me?
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
And so like I had, like, and so I had to like keep telling myself that in high school, even though like, even though it was difficult.
You should make that into a shirt.
Mm-hmm. I should make that into a shirt. If this wasn't the last episode, best believe we'd be making awkward individual shirts.
Yeah, I would wear one.
I'd still wear one.
Yeah.
The memorabilia shirts. Uh-huh. Still do it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, like, be like, being yourself is something that's really difficult in high school.
It is.
And I think one thing is, like, people don't know who themselves is, who yeah. their self is, right? And, like, another
that's
thing is...
That's why mentors matter, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, mentors matter.
Like, yeah.
And books. Read books.
Yeah. Listen to podcasts.
Listen to podcasts.
I'm not joking. Yeah. You think I'm being funny. Reading is so much more than just I have to learn how two words fit together to communicate an idea. Like, reading also, this is why I love fiction so much. Mm-hmm. Because through storytelling, authors have been able to cover the scope of humanity. And if you read enough, you will find something you identify with, something that rings true, and you'll go, oh, that's how I think about that thing. And then it helps you start building, like, okay, so who am I? What am I about? What do I like?
And it gets you getting your head more.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you focus on you and like, okay, so what am I about? Who am I? You know, who am I? Yeah.
So I'll tell you guys what. We are 44 minutes in this podcast.
Yeah. Dang.
And so we have two options. Either we can keep talking about this and just make this like the whole podcast. Or
next
you
topic.
You want to do next topic?
Yeah, let's do next topic.
Yeah.
Okay.
You only blessed with us this one time.
Here's the thing is that, like, so, our other topics are like the
you
are
can't
Q&A.
See us on. You can't see us on the microphone, you know.
We're hugging.
We're
sisters.
We're
colored.
Oh! Yeah. What is it?
We're colored.
We're brothers.
No, we're brothers.
We're happy and we're singing.
Yeah, and we're colored. Do, 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 do. Give me a high five.
Why don't we ever do that?
Plenty of reasons.
Why don't we?
Can we talk about how we saw one of the Wayans brothers do?
And it was
horrible. Horrible.
Wait,
it was so
what?
Bad. One of the
Wayans.
Sean Wayans do
stand-up
comedy. Now, Sean Wayans, are you listening to this? I'm sorry.
I want you to know it was bad.
It was.
Don't
it was
do stand-up comedy.
Oh my god.
Stick with the movies,
dude.
Produce whatever, but don't do stand-up comedy. It was bad. Like it was awkward.
Trying so hard.
I felt for him.
Oh.
And what sucked even more was that like the person before, what they call the person,
the warm up act.
Yeah, was so good.
Yeah, one of the opening acts. It was. Dude, that dude was killing it. Like,
he was so funny.
Then he came on stage and I was like, oh, this is about to be awesome. They just started. And I was like, oh well.
It was.
I laughed probably like twice in the whole thing.
It was one of those like pity laughs. You knew that's the rough. Audience was giving him pity laughs.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Oh, it was sad.
Yeah. Mm. He thought it was amazing too. I'm sorry, Sean Wayans.
At least, yeah, no, it was bad.
Yeah.
And he has negative opinions on women. That's what I thought on that one. That's how I was going to end for comments.
Negative opinions on women. Next.
Yeah.
So our next topic is the lounge.
This is
one of your guys' topics, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Mouse.
Oh,
so yeah. I'll let you take off with this.
I just kind of put it out there as a topic since we all participated in, and I figured it'd be a joint effort.
Mm. What is the lounge, Michelle?
Yeah.
So the lounge is a community event where artists just come up and they perform, and usually it's to help raise support for something like a nonprofit or like a community cause, or to raise money for something. But since I moved away, it's been annually, I guess, and we used the last lounge to honor Bless, actually.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised?
I was surprised.
Did you, like, want to cry?
This is what I told people. People were like, man, you didn't cry. You were heartless. Like, well, or how come you didn't cry? I started off emotional. I did like the opposite thing. I started off emotional. I was like, you guys. But then over time it tapered off.
You're like,
right?
Okay,
by the time
it, I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm cool.
By the time I got to like our father, like got, by the time our father got there, I was just like, I was like, hit me with your best shot.
Oh,
but,
man.
You're like, still standing.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, one of your superheroes.
The real reason we're talking about the lounge, not that Blessing isn't like a decent human being.
Yes.
But right. To talk about simmer down now.
All right.
See, completely different.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
To talk about the fact that this summer we will have our third annual summer arts campus.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
It is. It's been. Man, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a great project. Yes. Or not project. I shouldn't say like it's a side thing. But it's been really an amazing experience.
What is the summer arts camp?
So the summer arts camp.
Because I have no idea.
Yeah. It doesn't look like I helped plan it or anything.
What's the summer arts camp?
He's like, I'm not there.
What's art?
So the summer arts camp is a free camp for kids ages 9 to 14, but, like, we ended up having kids who were, like, 7.
Yep. Oh, dude, let never do that again.
Yeah. What,
at least
7?
At least in my group.
Okay.
7-year-olds. Well, I mean...
We can limit
Well, you
age.
Had my nephew.
Yeah, but he wasn't performing.
He didn't perform. I didn't make him... I didn't let him perform. I just said he could just hang out.
Because I could barely handle, like, the people who were
Well, your group was big.
Yeah.
So, like, Bless's group last year was 30 kids.
Yeah.
And that's insane. Like, that was a big group. Yeah. Considering, like, it's a big group. But yeah, like it's 1 week and it's from 6 to 8 and they come in and they do some art stuff.
We feed them. So everything's free.
And it's free?
We feed them. We eat dinner.
And they learn arts.
Like there's
writing.
Dancing, writing, mouth, Lisa writing.
Visual arts.
Yep. And singing.
Singing.
Man, this happens in Champaign, Urbana,
Illinois. I know. And it's free.
In the
summer.
When they don't have school.
In
the evening?
In the evening.
Wow. That's cray cray.
It is. We do it. Yeah.
But we had such a good positive response this past summer. I think so. The first time we did it, we held it at Cranor, and it was really good. It was really nice, and Cranor really showed up and did a lot. But this I think
it was also our first year.
And so we're learning a lot. But it was just really interesting that this past summer that we only had maybe a handful of people return. We had so many. We had so many,
I think like 14 returning.
Yeah, we had so many new people.
We had about 105 kids.
Like unique people who were like, "Yeah, I heard about this campus. I'm doing." And we did not even push it the way we did last year.
Yeah.
The first year, I think I spoke to the school board about it.
Yeah,
you came to the schools and you did open house. Yeah. 6th grade open house at all the middle schools. We passed out flyers. I think I announced it. I it was everywhere.
Yeah. This must be like, is it like a huge organization that throws this?
No, it's just just a couple of people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when we were talking, I was talking, is that why you brought it up?
Yeah, that's why I keep saying it.
So I was talking to Joe and Abba, shout out, last night about the camp, and we were talking about just how to get donations in, and they were saying, like, one reason why people don't donate, because they think it's this large organization that puts it on, and they're heavily funded, but they don't realize this is completely donation-based. Like, this is, like, one, young people of color doing this for their community, and so... Group of people who just have a heart for the arts and for kids and
I'm so excited.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Awkward Individuals is a podcast in which we take part in awkward conversations about your favorite topics, questions, and current events. We're all individuals and we're all very different. The only thing we truly have in common is the fact that we're all awkward. And so you can access our podcast via the iTunes store or via the podcast app on your iPhone. This is episode 18. I forgot to do that at the beginning.
I was like, is this the end?
Like,
oh, no.
You just cut us off?
Oh, no, I'm just
saying, that was the last time you're ever going to say that. How do you feel about that?
No, I'm going to say it again at the end.
Oh, you're saying it again?
But
aren't we, 50 minutes in?
Yeah, who cares?
Okay.
Hey, it's his podcast. Do what he wanted to do.
I do what I want.
Exactly.
It's not like there's an organization that, bought the podcast. I wish. Right. Can you imagine?
Yeah, so who are the organizations? There's
So who's this podcast sponsored by, this
One people. Yeah. One people.
And the summer arts camp.
A small nonprofit. Almost nonprofit.
Almost nonprofit.
When are we going to become a nonprofit?
This month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So maybe by the time you're listening to this, probably
maybe.
Not.
Maybe.
Not. But yeah, this episode is sponsored by an organization called One People.
Yep.
And it's the thing called a free sponsorship because I don't think I'm going to get paid.
Nope.
No. And so, but I mean,
if you're listening, donate money for the summer arts camp. Volunteer at the summer arts camp.
Yes, volunteers.
Come and watch the kids perform at the end of the summer arts camp. In short, be a part of the summer arts camp because it's amazing and it's awesome and we're doing a great service for kids in the community that literally nobody else in the Champaign-Urbana community offers.
Yes.
Nobody else is doing a free arts camp for kids.
And it's free babysitting too.
Basically.
Yep, pretty much.
Basically.
Yeah.
Put them in camp all morning and then send them to summer arts camp
at night. What was the response from, as an assistant principal, did you hear feedback? You're like, crickets.
No. and I pubbed it. I did pub it with my staff, and I said, but that was also my first year, and I think they're probably like, okay, that's nice, that's cute.
Yeah.
So maybe this year I'll get a little bit more, because I think I asked some of them to, I asked people to volunteer, and some people did express interest.
Yeah.
But then, you know, life happens. And we did have a couple of kids who participated, so that was cool.
I'm hoping now that's a little more established, like now that we're in our third year, like people will be like, oh, so this is actually like real? Like,
yeah.
This actually is going on again?
Yep.
So
we've got this in the bag this year.
Yep. If you want to see me struggle to teach kids how to dance,
it's hilarious.
Volunteer.
And frustrating, not going to lie, sometimes as the camp director.
The first year wasn't that bad. Last year, it was frustrating for me because I didn't realize I made the choreography way too advanced for 30 kids.
Yeah, and small kids. Like, bless this group, not going to lie, it was very unique because he had the largest group and also possibly the youngest group. And he had, like, the most friend groups, like, in his group. So, and, clicks his kids.
And I physically can't yell. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know this. Like, if I try to yell at the top of my lungs, it will not be that loud. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot yell loudly. And so, like, half the time I had a microphone in my hand, but then, like, my microphone would die. And to try and get a gym full of, like, 30 kids to, like, follow instructions, it is one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life.
Shout out to PE teachers,
Yeah.
It was comparable to the time I had malaria.
Wow. And typhoid at the same time.
That's
intense.
I was in the hospital for some time. I can't remember how long because I was knocked out.
My word.
But yeah. So that's one people / the lounge.
Yep.
And our last topic is a Q&A. Just us asking questions. I think it's going to be me and Huey asking you guys questions.
Sure.
Yeah. Unless you guys want to ask us questions. I feel like Huey hasn't talked a lot.
Do you know a lot about Blessing? Do you know a lot about Brother? Mm-hmm. Like his deepest, darkest secrets?
No.
Right.
Do you think I have any deep, dark secrets?
No.
Exactly.
Just open up, man.
What would I say?
I don't know. Just, like, tell us your true feelings.
Remember that time? So, at the lounge.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that happened at the lounge is...
lounge?
Yes. The lounge that just happened a couple days ago, as of this recording, when you're hearing this a week ago, I guess. Since, like, it was dedicated to me, right? So, Michelle reached out to Huey to get videos of people who weren't going to be there to say some words about me. The videos that Huey got were literally the most random people he could find. Like, I'm pretty sure he just looked at my friends list and was like, who do I know that he knows? And just found two people, like just two girls, like, to say things about me.
You're welcome.
And I found that, and it was hilarious to me. Video came up, and I was like, why would you get this person? It's one of those things of like...
One girl doesn't even know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, it was so phoned in. She was like, oh yeah, and you went to Seattle, and Seattle's cool because you're cool, and it's been nice being friends with you for however long I guess we've been friends.
We're close to them. One of the girls we hung out with there all summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
your definition of close and Blessing's definition of close are very far apart.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, like one of them may or may not have been a person I might have had beef with. Whoa! But I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Well, props. Did she know you had beef?
I don't know. Maybe she knows. I was kidding. It's not that serious.
Yeah,
it's
but props to her for, like, sending. Thank you if you're listening to the podcast. Thank you for sending in those videos.
Yeah.
No, I got, like, a lot of people because, you know, people, they promise and they don't deliver. And I felt kind of bad. I was panicking. I was like, there's only two people. People are going to think that.
No, Blessing, that was enough.
Yeah, because I wanted to get, like, a lot to seem like that Blessing has friends, you know? So I was like, there's only two people. Everybody's going to think that Blessing doesn't have friends. It's going to look so bad.
I have plenty of friends, Huey.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like,
why didn't you do a video?
That. People are going to think that.
He should
take a selfie. I guess he just
spoke.
Well, no, it was awesome.
That was
I just remember seeing the videos and be like, this is awesome. Because this is like, I'm not that close with either of these people. I mean, no offense. I'm like.
Dang, dude. You know they're going to.
Well, yeah, but I mean. Dang. I don't think they would, like, attest to being, like any of my best friends. Yeah.
Not
like, they're friends.
Best? Yeah, like, pretty close, right? No,
not that close.
You say so?
Dang.
Do you think?
Do you test
this is the moment when the podcast gets awkward. I'm just enjoying this.
Okay, all
right. No, like, but yeah. if you guys could see their faces right now, Huey and Blessing really had perplexed looks on their faces, like where they were trying to really figure, like, are we friends with these people or not? Like, what did we do this past summer? And Huey is so confident that they're friends, but Blessing's like, no. But no, they're like your best friend, and Blessing's just like, but no, they're not. Like, I'm cool with them. And he was like, but we hung out with them. That must mean something. Blessing's like, but that didn't mean anything to me.
I'm like that guy who says I love you to a girl after 2 dates. Yeah. Oh, God. It's like we hung out like 2 times. That's like, we're best podcast. Friends. We're best friends.
We already talked about that podcast, but that's still a funny thing. Like you just ever said, like this person's like my best friend, and that person didn't agree.
Of like, oh no, wait. Has someone said that to me about me?
Like, has somebody said about you, like, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, this is one of my best friends, and you're just like,
I've had someone say that to me and be like, you know, like, as one of your, like, your best friends, I'm thinking, that's pretty aggressive.
I barely like you. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things is when, like,
that's one of my favorite things off this podcast. we talked about, like, 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he was the episode yet, but yeah, we got into, like, when you say I love you first, or like, when you say this person's my best friend.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you. Yeah.
No. So, my mom is the best person for this. My mom is like me, so she's very friendly with a lot of people. A lot of people know her. A lot of people, like, she's very social. But I'll come home and I'll talk to her, and she'll say things like, "Yeah, I was talking to so and so, and then she was telling me this and the other." It's like, she thinks she's my best friend, but she's really not. And I'm like, dang, yeah, but you guys have been friends for like 40 years. That's weird. They've been on the hook this whole time. But it's one of those things, and I find myself in this situation often where people are closer to you than you are to them.
Yep.
So they perceive, because of your
friendliness
that they perceive it as openness. Yeah. So like they have gained entry into who you are, into your life. And so then they just think, oh man, we're really close. And you're like, no, that's how I am. Like, that's my default setting. That's friendly. That's baseline. Like, yeah. Friendly and social.
Huey was talking to somebody, right, who I've been friends with, who I've known for like 8 years, right? And he was talking about, like, he was having a conversation, and the dude was like, yeah, I feel like Blessing secretly hates me. And Huey was like, Huey's response was like, haven't you known for like eight years? Should you be like best friends by now? And it's one of those things, like, yeah, that's basically me as a person, of like, no, like, you can know me
forever and whatever. I don't feel bothered by it. Yeah. And it's not like you're trying to string anybody along. It's just like, I'm happy and comfortable and confident being a social person. But I know who you know who your people are.
Exactly. I like how we have one audience member, and I forgot she's been here the whole time. She's creeping in the corner, like, just enjoying the conversation.
Was that the person you were talking about?
That's good. Oh, yeah. No, we were talking about her behind her. Yeah. Thought I was behind her. Right. Right. It's like, it's been 8 years.
Sorry. Oh, man.
So, this Q&A.
Yeah.
What's it like being a black woman in America?
Why? Really? Just thought of the first
thought of, like, no. I can think of. Next question. Yeah. That's another podcast, a whole other thing.
Let's just say this. We love ourselves.
Yes, very much so.
And we are very proud to be black women in America.
Yes.
And we are working very hard to make that matter to everyone else.
Yeah. Nicely put, Mel.
You know I'm good on the fly with words.
She is great with words.
That's why she's this question is person. This next question is more for Mallory, and it's more for me. I don't really, I mean, I care about the listeners, right? But this is more for me, right? So remember how, like, I don't know if it was a year or two ago, I told you I was going to write a book?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year I'm going to write a book.
Okay.
How do I write a book?
Dang, I'm trying to remember the headspace I was in when you told me that, because I had a whole plan in my head at that time.
Yeah, because now I'm actually doing it. I have the concept.
So when I'm having, like, a creative burst, you got to jump on it right then, because then I move on to something else. What did I tell you to do?
I think you told me to write every day.
I wanted you to write a book in verse. And I was going to give you a copy of a book that I really liked, that I wanted you to, like, use for inspiration. I want you to write a book in verse.
Interesting. That would be fun.
Yeah.
I would hate that.
So really? No. So literally, like, so think about the piece you did on Saturday night and the letters, kind of like that sort of thing. Like, if you did one whole book of letters, you know, that's something. You know what I mean? And it's just thematic, and it could be, like, thematically organized. But a book of verse in verse would be, I think,
interesting,
brilliant.
Because I don't want to give away like the the book I'm, yeah, or like the book I'm working on in general. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too much away about it, but it's gonna be like basically like a number of different chapters, and it's gonna be like kind of like sporadic, like random things. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be about a certain topic, but it's gonna be like one chapter is about this, and the other chapter is about this. It's gonna cover like a wide array of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Just like our podcast.
Yeah, just like our podcast. Except it's gonna be in book four, and one of the chapters I want to call I forgot the name of the chapter, but it was whatever. It's gonna be a letter to Kanye West, basically.
Mm-hmm. Love,
you know. And I want every chapter to be sort of like its different own thing. Like it's like a collection of short stories.
Yeah. So you like what most comedians do.
Yeah, exactly.
A collection of essays.
Yeah, basically.
We have this conversation earlier today?
Yeah. Right. I just want to give her an idea so she can give me tips. Yeah. If she wants to, like,
but
like,
yeah, but no, I mean, no, no. Basic yeah. tips. Obviously, you should write every day. Mm-hmm. You should write every day when you don't feel like it, even if it's not good. I am a huge fan when I taught writing of free writing and the rules of free writing, which are don't stop writing for the duration of time and don't cross out or erase anything. Just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Leave everything there on the page, because you may start writing and get on a train of thought and then realize, oh, I don't want to write about this anymore, or I don't like this, and then want to erase it and start over. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're disrupting your own creative process. Leave it there and just move forward from that point on. Because at the end of the time, for however long you've written, now you have all of these different ideas, and you may find a piece in there or a line that you really like that you may use as a jumping off point for something else. So I encourage you, write every day. Don't erase. Unless you're writing like a polished piece and you know like the point that you're trying to make. Mm-hmm. But if you're just writing to be writing to exercise that muscle, mm-hmm. don't erase, don't cross out, just keep moving forward for a duration of time and just let it sit there.
That's really good advice.
Mm-hmm. I was a writing teacher.
I like that. David, do you have any questions?
What's the, if you would let introduce me to a book, nonfiction, like what would it be?
Nonfiction?
Talk to her, because I'm terrible about nonfiction.
Because I love reading.
I'm terrible about nonfiction. He actually does love
reading. You really did? When I first started hanging out with this dude, I texted him like, hey, bro.
Nonfiction.
You want to do something? He texted me back. He was like, nah, bro, I can't. I just checked out this book from the library. And I was like, what kind of person says that? What kind of grown man that says, nah, I'm not going to hang out. I just checked out a book from the library.
That's awesome, though.
Oh, I have a book I can recommend. I'll let her recommend one, and then I'm going to name drop.
So it's hard because, like, I don't read a lot of nonfiction. Like, if I read nonfiction, it's going to be, about, African politics or something. Yeah. You know, I read a lot of fiction. So I recommend you a lot of fiction books, but nonfiction. Let me look at my book list.
Are you interested in a religious text?
Religious text.
It's so just. So yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Actually, you know what? Stop. I'm gonna recommend to you A Modern Romance, because I feel like anyone needs to listen to that.
Oh man, that'd be good. For
or would somehow appreciate that?
Yeah.
Hughie
would.
Oh, what?
So.
Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari.
Oh, that's one I'm gonna listen to. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a book.
It's a nonfiction book. It's Aziz Ansari.
Do you know Aziz Ansari?
Yeah, that Indian stand-up guy.
Yeah. So he wrote this book, and it actually is really great. And he uses research, like he does a good job.
He works
like,
with a sociologist.
Mm-hmm. He collected research over some years, or probably a year, and he has this book, and it's about dating and romance and like the modern world.
You lost me at dating. What's it called?
Modern.
You got
romance.
Me a dating.
You got me a dating.
You got me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. And it's like dating, like especially in the tech world.
Yeah. So here's something to balance out your life. So this is something that Kirsten is reading right now. It's called Sabbath as Resistance: Saying No to the Culture of Now, and it's all about keeping the Sabbath and like what and how we have kind of lost sight of that in our modern sort of fast-paced, anxious, like now culture, and just the importance of keeping a Sabbath. And so it's a really short little book, something that you can easily pick up and do, and just just a little bit of conviction that we all need to remind ourselves that God designed a day of rest, and none of us really abide by that.
Oh yeah.
Hmm. You should also read another nonfiction. That was a TED Talk that was turned into a little novel. And it's super short. Like, I literally read it on my commute to work. Is We Shall All Be Feminist by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Yeah.
He's also Nigerian.
He just happens to be Nigerian.
So Sabbath as Resistance and...
Sabbath as Resistance.
As Resistance.
And Modern Romance. Uh-huh. And We Shall All Be Feminist.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's a good cross-section. Look at that!
What is Winning?
Winning.
Yeah, I'll also recommend a little book called The Bible. The only book I've ever read.
He's channeling like Jason Jackson hardcore right now.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Because I enjoy like when he gets into like his kind of like comedic kind of zone.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's hilarious to me. Mm-hmm. So I like to channel. I try to channel that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions, Huey?
Oh yeah. How am I awkward? Because this past Sunday, the most awkward person I know called me awkward, and I was like, "How dare you?" I was like, "How dare you?"
Who's the most awkward person?
Okay,
you know?
But why is awkward
write
bad?
Write it down. Write it down.
But like,
we have a podcast called Awkward Individuals, yeah. Huey.
I want to know.
You
want to
know?
Yeah. That'll wipe off.
But I don't understand why that is a bad thing.
First interaction with that person, and I told other people, and I was like, "This was very awkward."
Oh,
I remember having that conversation. About, okay, hopefully this works out.
No, here's a, like,
perfect. No joke, my very first interaction with that person, and it was like...
She listens to this podcast, by the way.
Okay, well...
But she might not know what you... Yeah.
Well...
Just tread lightly.
I was just going to say that the first interaction made me feel like I didn't know what I was doing. It got better from there, but I was just like, oh, like, my socializing game is a little off right now.
Oh, right,
People will do that to you.
I don't think she's that... Oh, never mind.
Anyway, the point is, the question is, why are you awkward?
Yeah.
What makes you awkward?
What makes me awkward? And is it bad awkward or good awkward? Should I
Here's
keep
the thing,
being
though.
Awkward?
This is what, maybe the second time I've interacted with you face to face.
Yeah.
So I can't really say that you're awkward. Like, on air, you can come across as awkward, but that's mostly, I think, just because you guys poorly plan out this podcast. and so it's just kind of rocky from the start. I think in person...
That's the true essence of the show.
I know. In the two interactions I've had with you, you've not come across as awkward.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even if you were awkward...
That's fine.
It's fine.
Okay.
Let it be your thing.
Absolutely.
Let your freak flag fly.
All awkward is that like, you are just socially different from
someone
else.
Sounds like a
lyric. You're not me. What? What was the lyric?
Let your freak flag fly.
That's a Kesha lyric. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. But like you're still a nice human being and you treat people well with dignity and respect.
Thank you.
That's what matters.
Speaking of that, let's get to the part somebody called you immature
the other day. I was just going to ask you that. Do you think I'm immature? Do you guys think I'm immature?
So here's the thing.
If one more person calls me immature, I'm going to go berserk.
And so here's the thing. And so here's what I found fascinating about this conversation was the discussion around or the debate around what is maturity.
Yes. Yeah, right?
Because I define maturity the way that you do, right?
Yeah.
Sense of responsibility, you know, like I take care of what I'm supposed to take care of. I do what I'm supposed to do. I show up. I get things done. You know what I mean?
Add to that
but
list
other people
is
add to it like your the way you act, right? Acting young,
Or
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think this.
I think it is both. Like how you respond to certain situations and like how do you respond and like
going in.
This is.
Mallory just spat water all everywhere.
No,
so gross.
The thing is, like, one thing added to that list is I say the right thing at the right time. Mm-hmm. I don't like when I'm not supposed to be saying joking. I'm not gonna crack knock-knock jokes. You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing is, like, I feel like people around the church, some people we hang out with, they kind of don't have respect for me because they see me. Blessing had the same thing, like, because they see me joking.
Yeah. But I also think we did have different, like, well, we had sort of the same people. We also had sort of different views about respect.
Yeah, so I just feel like because they only see me like joking, they never see me the other side. So I just feel like that kind of bothered me, you know, like when people call you immature, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Just because I like to have fun and like to be comfortable around people and with jokes.
Sometimes I think I'm immature. Yeah. Like I think I could be dumb, but whatever.
Yeah. I think sometimes I feel like I'm perceived as being maybe not immature, but being like flighty. Or
what?
I know. Trust. I'm like.
You seem like
the
least immature person that I probably know.
Flighty?
But because
I don't know what
flighty means. Because when I kind of get into that, and when I get into my sort of like egotistical sort of like version of myself, and it's just like it's all about me, and I crack my jokes, and I'm kind of in that space, and people don't hear me talk about, you know, like the plight of the American education system, you know, and that's all that they see about me. Like, that's the only narrative that they get. And then the people walk away with that impression. And sometimes that cuts me because I think, oh my gosh, somebody has the wrong impression of me. And then I get really worked up about it. But then I'm like, does that person matter to my life?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
No. At the end right? of the day. At the end of the day, when I count on my hands, my two hands, the people who matter the most, if I were to ask them to describe me, would their definition be aligned with the definition I have of myself? And I say yes, and then I'm like, I'm good. So if somebody wants to call you immature, let them. You know that you are a responsible person. Yeah. You know that you take care of business. You know that you've accomplished more in your life than most people have done in a...
And Huey, how old are you?
21.
You're 21.
Exactly.
Who cares?
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have, if you wanted to be immature, you'd have the right to be immature right now, right? You're still in school. You're still learning and growing. But the fact is that you're not. Like, you're in school. You are learning. You are accomplishing things. You are doing things. You're working towards a goal. Own it. And if people want to...
host a podcast.
Exactly. So if people want to say, you're so immature, you'd be like, give me some proof. Well, that would be me because I'm rude like that.
I would
say anything. All right,
that's cool.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
All right. And then move on to the next.
Yeah. I was even going to, like, even piggyback off you, like, because you said, like, when you talk about certain things, like, people might not, like, when you talk about different things, people.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, even, like, when I start to talk about Kanye West, right, people might even, like, hear that and have a certain judgment about me, right? Whether it's I'm immature or I have bad taste in music or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Kanye West and Kanye West is a horrible person, blah, blah, blah. But they never listen, like, stop to listen to hear why I like Kanye West so much or why I listen to Kanye West so much.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they may only know, like, one or two Kanye West songs and might not listen to the albums, you know, and stuff like that. Or, like, even when it comes to video games, right? When people hear that I like to play video games, they come to that snap judgment of, oh, this person's childish or immature.
Yeah.
But even, like... when the beginning of this podcast, right?
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about Emily is Away or Last of Us or like Gone Home or like these different games of like they're people are so much deeper than they come
absolutely.
Off of.
And people are socialized to think certain things a certain
way.
Yeah,
ways. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So if they think your type of humor is immature, honestly, they might be just socialized to think that it's immature. And that's probably not.
Really?
Mm. True.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah. And also, like, the same, you said this to me yesterday of like, it's like when you hang out with your older friends, right? They don't think you're immature, right? Then they're fine with you and stuff. But when you hang out with like people your age and stuff, right? Like, not everybody your age, but some people your age, then like they view you as more immature because of how you act
but
and stuff.
But then also, it's a reflection of them, right?
Absolutely.
A good portion of how we see other people's is really just how we're projecting ourselves off of them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's really like, I'm seeing in you what is happening inside of myself.
Absolutely.
You know, they see you as immature because maybe they personally act a little immature and they're you guys are reflecting that same sort of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Older friends as an age?
Yeah.
Older, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a skill and part of maturity you're able to communicate across generations and that's
because my small group are all like 40 50 year old guys
so
my older friends
and that's I think that's more rare
I also think it has to do with like the fact that like people our age are just getting to like the age where they sort of feel like they have to be mature.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, like, people who are older, I don't think people who are older really, like, care that much, right? They're not really focused on, like, okay, well, I have to be a mature person. Like, people our age
I don't think
are,
about that.
Yeah.
At all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, people our age are, like, focused more,
they're
more
like,
on, like...
I have to be mature right now.
Yeah.
I'm, like, I'm thinking, like, I have to pay rent.
I know. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like when you say one of your jokes, people our age be more... I feel, like, more prone to be judgmental about it or more prone to be, like, oh, this person's immature because they feel like they have to be... Mature.
Yep.
They're working on their own legacy.
Yeah,
that's good.
If that makes sense.
Stop acting grown.
Okay.
It's not grown.
Okay. The Adoyes are getting weird.
What?
The Adoyes stay weird.
I was going to bring up a topic that would take us way off course.
Just for the record, it's pronounced Adioye because I know there's one Nigerian listening.
No,
like,
I know it is, but I always stop
I say
myself.
It wrong.
Oh, yeah,
I always
I say
stop
it,
myself from saying
no.
it because then I think, oh, they're going to be like,
No, I say it wrong because it's just lazier.
Yeah.
Like, I had to think about it to say correctly.
Yeah. I say Adoye because it's easier. It's less syllables.
Yes.
It's like one less syllable.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's easier for Americans to understand. But like, I met this guy, right? And his name, like, he was a Nigerian dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, his girlfriend, I was friends with his girlfriend, and she introduced me to him. He's like, oh, yeah, that's my friend, Olushin,
okay.
Right? And I was like, Olushin, you're Nigerian. What kind of Nigerian name is Olushin? Then I realized, I was like, Olushin. Oh, your name is Olushin.
Yeah.
And I got really upset.
Because that's
I was horrible. I was like,
that's not even a shortened version.
Yeah, I was like, that is a horrible
name.
Yeah.
I remember that name Olushin, and she goes by Shay, but that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I was like, Olushin. What kind of Nigerian name is Olushin? And I realized it's Olushin, and I was like, you better get out of my face right now. And he was
say
a soft
right.
Yeah. He was the softest Nigerian dude I ever met. And it was the funny thing considering, like, I'm like, compared to other Nigerians, yeah. I'm a pretty soft dude. This dude took it to the whole nother level, to where I was like, hey, oh, and you call yourself a Lucian? Get out of my face. Get out of my face, you fake Nigerian. Do you have any more questions?
Oh yeah. Going back to education, do you think 2 years of community college should be free?
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yep. Education should be free. Absolutely.
Because once again, it is a right, not a privilege. And the more we make it an elitist system that separates people, and we live off of this meritocracy that's an invalid way to look at our world.
Yeah.
And
it's a progressive society. I don't think people realize. Like,
look, but here's the thing though. When you talk about a progressive society, keeping it with the haves and the have-nots keeps our society progressing the way that it does, which is quite beneficial to a very small majority, but it's very beneficial to them. Yeah. So why change the system? Even though it should be free. It should be free.
Absolutely.
It should be free. I don't see that happening.
I think university education should be free.
See, I'm on the fence about that because I totally agree that everybody has a right to learn, and we should, like, education, it makes us better, it makes us a better person, you know? Mm-hmm. But I went to, like, 2 years at Parkland, and sometimes there's some people there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish you weren't here right now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, here's the thing. There's other ways. Yeah. So money, I guess my point is this. Money shouldn't be the deciding factor to whether you go to school or not.
Yeah.
I had a former student come by the church tonight. And she had a resume to hand to somebody, and I'm like, well, let me take a look at it. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, and I just sent her off to college last year, and I'm like, I'm so excited, you're going to the school, and I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing that it has got Parkland on there, and I'm assuming that maybe she's doing stuff in the summer, and I realize that she is, I'm like, oh, you transferred, what happened? She's like, out of state tuition.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not okay. One of the smartest kids I ever taught. Great head on her shoulders. So focused. She had been thinking and planning about college since sixth grade. And for her to have to leave her school that she got into, that she worked hard to get into, to then have to go back to community college in order to save up enough money in order to go to an in-state school. You know what I mean? Like, money should not be the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
Grades, your work ethic, all that sort of stuff, that can exclude the mess out of you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But money should not be the deciding factor.
Mm. Absolutely.
That was deep. That was good. Yeah. Any other questions?
No. That's, I think.
No, like, fun questions?
I know.
Who gets so serious?
How do you guys feel about makeup? Like, actually, first of all, before I ask this question, do you guys both consider yourself feminists?
Yes.
What are your feelings about makeup?
I don't wear makeup. Mostly because I'm lazy. Secondly, because I feel like I look like a clown. Thirdly, because I'm lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I wear makeup, but I think women should have the right to not wear makeup.
Mm. Yeah.
So
makeup is.
I think you guys misunderstood. I didn't elaborate. What do you guys think about men in makeup?
I think. What? I'm like,
that's not where
I'm
talking.
No,
but makeup, I get it. Why? Yeah. Like, girls, like, love spending... Because I put on makeup before. Yeah, I look... Dude.
Yeah, God. I know, like, at the end of the
day... Dewey has makeup. A confidence.
Yeah.
Like, a certain confidence.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing.
No,
because I'm not confident in my looks. You said I feel like you're confident. I was just joking. Like, I don't know on the podcast.
I'm really not confident in my looks.
You know when people joke about things? Like, some truth about how they look?
Yeah. I really don't think I look good. Like, no, I'm not photogenic at all.
Just because he did, I'm like, now I'm going to sound
No, really. No, it's really not. No. First of all, I'm not photogenic at all. Like, if you look at...
Look at the picture that she just took of you.
I don't think I'm Calvin Klein. I never take selfies. Bieber. That's why I hate selfies, because I look so horrible on selfies.
Well, it's probably good that you don't take selfies, because that probably means that you're probably less narcissistic person. So, like...
Yeah, that is true. We had a whole topic about selfies, too. Like, I hate people.
Did I miss that podcast?
I think that was an earlier one. That might have been one of our practice ones, also. I don't know.
We
wrote a whole blog about selfies.
We could go
called Selfie Esteem, which I'm still proud of that title. I wrote that blog only for that title. I want you guys to know.
Okay.
There are things I do just because the title is so awesome.
But I did like that blog.
Yeah. I made a whole dance. I made a dance crew for 2 semesters just because I thought of a cool name, which is Ill Pandemic.
Yeah, that was great.
I was like, that's a great name. I'm starting a dance crew just so I can use that name. I do that all the time. I think I have a great name for something that I like roll with it.
I should ask you about names for stuff.
Maybe, but it's usually like, I just randomly like think of something. And I'm like, oh, well, I have to do it now because I thought of the name for it.
If I need a name for like a research paper, I'd be like, bless.
Oh, yeah, let me know.
Okay. Long story short, makeup is a wonderful tool if you want to use it. There are people who are artists at it. Vanessa, yeah. Shout out to Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Who's an artist at what she does. And if I could do what she does, I'd wear makeup all day, every day. I'd go to sleep in it. But I can't, so I don't.
Vanessa, she's a magician. Mm-hmm. Like I saw one of her before and after, and I was like, I can't trust anybody now. Because anybody can be anybody under that makeup.
I think you texted me. I took a screenshot and texted Vanessa. Because he was like, Vanessa's the reason why I'm making girls go swimming on our first date.
Yeah, because I'm like, dude, like, you can take off that makeup and be, like, straight up, like, Huey under there. And I wouldn't know.
Oh.
No, I'm not saying Huey's ugly. I'm saying, like, Huey's like, you could actually be Huey. Like, I can think that, like, I can, like, meet you and you'd be, like, a short white woman. And then, like,
Take off the makeup.
And Huey's like, what's up, bro? Be, like, white girls up in there. Or white chicks up in there.
Oh, right. Gosh.
Wow. Yeah, like I did a whole talk about how like makeup scares me, right? Yeah. I don't really have a problem with people putting on makeup or whatever. Do whatever you want. Makeup just scares me as a person.
I was like doing my eyebrows the other day, and remember I told you that. I was like, I wish I had Mallory's eyebrows. But as I was doing my eyebrows, Bless was like, "What'd you say?"
Oh, dude, eyebrows is a whole nother story.
I wish this trend will end.
Let me talk about eyebrows for 60 seconds.
What are we at?
An hour and 23 minutes.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
Eyebrows. It has to stop. It has to stop. And that's all I'm going to say is that it has... No, that's not all I'm going to say. But I am going to say it has to stop. Because you can do whatever you want to your face.
Do whatever, eyebrows are part of your face.
Do whatever you want to your face, right? Okay. You know, it's your face. You're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting anybody else. You're not hurting yourself. Feel free to do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Feel beautiful. The eyebrows have to stop, though. Why? Because... Everybody's just angry all the time, and I can't stand it. Right? Nobody's eyebrows are that sharp. Like
Mallory's are.
These are all
mine. Actually, eyebrows are... Mallory just has some good eyebrows.
She does have good eyebrows. And I literally think about Mallory's eyebrows all the time.
Like, I have the thickest eyebrows in the world. But everybody's, I have, like, caterpillars on my face.
Everybody's eyebrows are fine. I don't see anything... I never noticed eyebrows until people started messing
with
them.
You know what? I've always noticed eyebrows. Like, even though I was a kid, that was the first facial feature that I noticed.
Really?
People's eyebrows. Yep. Mm, first thing.
But, like, when I see somebody and their eyebrows are, like, are so sharp and so, like... They look like designs off cartoon characters.
But you did say my eyebrows look good the other night, though. The night of the lounge.
Yeah, but like, I think what crossed the line for me was I was at Old Navy before Christmas to buying my nephew's gift, mm-hmm. right? And I was standing in line. And I just couldn't stop staring at one of the cashiers whose eyebrows started like, they started up here and they ended like over here. Super sharp. She looked so angry. And I really didn't want to get her because I was like, I can't tell if this lady's actually angry or if that's just her eyebrows. But I was like, this has to stop because
there is a skill to it.
Yeah.
Would you guys
start just too much for me?
Would you guys judge me if I start putting on makeup?
I really wouldn't care.
I mean, I'll judge you a little bit, but I wouldn't care about the end of it.
Do it. Yeah. Let your freak flag fly.
Exactly.
Yeah, Kesha.
Makeup is dope.
I'm not a big fan of it.
You said this some multiple times now.
Yeah, I know.
Makeup is
so
dope.
Next time we see Huey.
I so wish this podcast was still going.
She's
so we can
gonna
do
be a small
shirts.
White female.
And like,
we still do shirts.
One of the shirts will say makeup is dope. Wouldn't that be a dope shirt?
Yeah. You should send it off to Vanessa. Another shout out to Vanessa.
Hey. We're gonna make her listen to this.
Yeah, she's gotta listen now for an hour and 20 minutes just to hear her name.
Because it's so long.
No, because also the quality is weird.
Oh.
Since we're far away, further from microphones, but it's the only way to do it, so.
Sorry.
Do we have anything else that we need to, like, get off our chest right now?
I miss Michelle. She needs to not be so far away.
Or you just need to move.
When are you going back?
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going to visit soon.
You're leaving Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna come visit.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, we have to like lock me in to like a weekend to a date, and then I will buy my ticket, and then I have to go.
Okay.
I'm getting bed sores.
Because once I put money on it, ain't no going back.
Hey, I love people visiting me in the Bay. Mm-hmm. I really do, and I love living there. And so I kind of love like.
Oh, I bet.
Swing off.
Yeah.
Unless you like it.
Oh, ooh, yeah, sorry, dude. It's fine. San Francisco is one of my favorite cities in the U.S. If not my favorite city. It just costs too much.
It is insanely expensive.
Yeah. I'm like, how does anybody do this?
Don't know.
And like, you're paying for all my stuff, and I was like, are you not broke yet? How does your bank account? How is your bank account still alive? If I pay for all the stuff, for me and you, I would have $0 in my bank account.
I went to Biagi's the other day, and you know, growing up, you thought Biagi's was like so mm-hmm. expensive. Yeah. You know, I went to Biagi's the other day, and I legit looked at the menu, and I thought, dang, this is so cheap. I was like, I can get Alfredo for this much. So cheap.
All right. Awkward Individuals is a podcast in which we take part in awkward conversations about your favorite topics, questions, and current events. We're all individuals and we're all very different. The only thing that we truly have in common. Hold up. Sorry. The cold I had like 3 weeks ago.
Have in common. It's a cold.
It's still killing me. Sorry. We're all individuals and we're all very different. The only thing we truly have in common is the fact that we're all awkward. And so you can access our podcast via the iTunes Store or via the podcast app on your iPhone. Even though this is the last episode, so do what you will. Episode 18.
You're leaving. Cherie's leaving. It's like my worst nightmare.
Right?
Right.
Thank you for listening. Bye.